141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A huge night for Rangers and Kilmarnock as they meet in what could be a season-defining Scottish Cup replay. Celtic are in Valencia, looking to pull off an unlikely shock in Europe. And will we see foreign refs in Scottish football? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Craig Beattie and Mark Guidi.
Yep, a full house at Ibrox tonight, Gordon. The William Hill Scottish Cup tie between the Rangers and Kilmarnock. Stephen Gerrard says realistically it's Rangers' last chance of a trophy, so they dare not lose, but they are up against a very capable and very talented Kilmarnock side. And for Celtic, it's all about the preparation ahead of the Valencia tie tomorrow night. 2-0 down, can they get through? Probably no chance, but never say never.
Craig, I feel like we repeat ourselves on this show, but we say it because we mean it. Yet another couple of massive days for us here in Scottish football.
Yeah, not only a massive game for Stephen Gerrard to try and win some silverware, but probably the last chance to stop the treble. You know, I know we've been going on about it, and I think he's under huge pressure if he doesn't win this match tonight.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch. So give us all your thoughts on the phones, or if you would prefer Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. And your old club Celtic, Craig, going there tomorrow, I think unlikely just about covers it. Are you giving them any chance? How do you see that one tomorrow?
I watched the first game. I thought they were really poor. I thought they were wasteful in possession. Didn't really threaten a goal. And I can't see them doing any damage to Valencia and the Mestalla tomorrow night. I think the best thing that can come out of tomorrow night is that there's no injuries and they don't get embarrassed, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, Mark Guidi, there is a shift in expectation, I suppose, where for the first time in a while, Celtic are huge underdogs. They don't get into many games like that. I don't know if that changes the dynamic. You can be accused of clutching at straws, but I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will be trying to convince his players in some way that they can pull it off.
Yeah, he will be. But on the evidence, Gordon, of last Thursday night at Celtic Park, there was a serious gulf in class between both sides. The tactics and the homework, obviously done by Valencia, was spot on. And then you also have it when you know that it's not going to plan. Brendan Rodgers, one thing about him, European football, he sticks to his beliefs. You may well call it stubbornness in terms of not changing it and trying something different. Go and get a second ball, go and get a flick on, go and try and box him in and get a throw on out of the park. There's nothing like that. So for me, the evidence of last week and the fact that they're going away from home, they don't have a particularly good record away from home over a number of years, so I can see nothing more than a convincing Valencia victory.
Now, Celtic's press conference was due to start at 6:30. We understand it now might be a little bit later, so we will be going to Valencia. We'll bring you the very latest as soon as we possibly can, but there's only one place to start tonight. That's at Ibrox. Rangers against Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup. Here's Andrew McLean.
Yeah, good evening. Obviously an empty Ibrox at the moment, but from what I understand, it's not going to get that much busier, to be honest. Ticket sales not great for this one, despite the fact it's not even on TV, so much so that they're actually doing pay at the gate tonight, which you don't see very often. As for the action on the park, Rangers looking to bounce back from what was a poor display, wasn't it, against St Johnstone on Saturday. Stephen Gerrard post-match, he was brutally honest about their performance against St Johnstone, and now they sit 8 points behind Celtic. You'd imagine that the Scottish Cup has even more importance than it did before the weekend for them. Kilmarnock, well, they put up a good fight against Celtic on Sunday, but were obviously dealt last minute heartbreak by Scott Brown, but they've not lost in the last three meetings with Rangers, so they'll take plenty of confidence from that. The early team news here from Ibrox is that Alfredo Morelos, he's of course back from suspension for Rangers. However, Kirk Broadfoot, he's suspended for Kilmarnock, but they could be boosted by the return of Stuart Finlay at centre back. I'll bring you the full team news later on once I get it.
Now, are you heading along to that game tonight? Share your thoughts. Just how big a game is this, Rangers against Kilmarnock? Is it make or break? Is that the way you see it, or are there plenty more twists and turns to come in the title race? You tell us. Who do you want to see play? Who do you not want to see play? How do you think it'll go? Let's hear from you right now. 0141 951 1025. Mark Guidi, big game,
massive game. And I just want to, it's nice to have Craig in the studio with us tonight. So just to pick up on a point that he made, Gordon, a couple of minutes ago, and put him on the spot, you said that if Rangers don't win, Stephen Gerrard's under pressure in terms of what, to keep his job with the Rangers hierarchy, or what do you mean under pressure?
I think to keep his job. He's come in, he started well, he's had a good run in Europe. He's then started pretty well in the league, and just before Christmas, a win in Old Firm game. Since then, it's been a disaster. They've gone, you know, 8 points behind Celtic. Celtic already won one of the competitions, and I think they're really struggling tonight. I think a really solid defensive performance by Kilmarnock on Sunday against Celtic, and I think if they perform like that again at Ibrox tonight, I don't see Rangers beating them.
That said, Mark Guidi, Alfredo Morelos, we're not got confirmed team news. I mean, you can only imagine him coming back in. Yeah. He's free of suspension. What a difference he makes. And we've seen that from when he's not been there.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right, Gordon. It does. He's a terrific striker. It must be so frustrating in terms of his temperament and his lack of discipline to continuously get himself into trouble. And I'm sure that Steven Gerrard's had a word with him and tried to calm him down in the backroom staff. But when he is available and when he's on the park, he's as good as there is in Scottish football, and he will be an absolute handful for the Kilmarnock defence tonight. And if there's a chance of Rangers winning, Craig saying he thinks that they're going to struggle, if there's a chance, they need Morelos on form.
You go along with that, Craig. He totally changes the way Rangers play, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, I've got some notes in front of me here, and I've actually got written down that I struggle to see Rangers winning a game without Morelos. They'll play some lesser quality in the Premiership. I get that, and you fancy them to go on and win games. But the big games, even with Defoe in there, I'm not confident that Rangers will win games without Morelos. And just touching back on Mark's last question about Steven Gerrard, I look at some of the players that he's brought in that hasn't happened for them. You know, they've got Gresda, Flanagan, Katic, McCauley, Lafferty, Davis, Koulibaly, and other loan signings he's brought in who have since returned. And, you know, I heard one of your callers on the show last night who said that, you know, they've not got enough players, they've not got enough quality. They've got about 34, 35 players there. And Gerrard's been partly to a lot of that.
You wonder what the dynamic is, though, between Mark Allen's, say, and that. And it's maybe if Steven Gerrard isn't getting the input or as much input as he would like or whatever. I don't know if that's the case, but if he is, then it's something that he's going to have to take control, because eventually it comes down on him, it comes down on the manager. So it'd be interesting to see what the dynamic of Mark Allen's role is.
Let's talk about tonight's game. Let's hear from you, 01419511025. Let's get the thoughts first, though, of both managers, starting with Steven Gerrard.
It's not so much a reaction. I expect a level of performance at home. I expect teams to come to Ibrox and feel Rangers. First and foremost, I want it to be a difficult place to come. So it's more going back to what we tried to put in place at the beginning in terms of standards and how we need to play and how it needs to look as a Rangers player and a Rangers team. We've always looked at this competition as something that we'd love to win. It hasn't become any more important, really, because of the weekend's fixtures, although we respect the fact that the challenge in the league's got more difficult over the weekend, but we can do nothing about the league until Hamilton at the weekend. So all the focus and all our energies and all our commitment needs to be on Kilmarnock. It's always been a huge competition for us. It's a big game that we want to qualify for. We'd love the chance to go to Pittodrie and play a quarter final against Aberdeen, but we have to try and take care of Kilmarnock first.
01419511025. Come on, let's hear from you. All your thoughts ahead of tonight's game. Let's start with Mitchell, who's a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. How are you tonight, Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Not too bad at all. What are your thoughts ahead of this one then? An hour and a half to kick off. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think having Alfredo Morelos back will be brilliant. Obviously, you know how much we miss him when he's out. I don't think we've quite got to grips with how to use Defoe properly. Whether that be tactics, team setup, I'm not quite sure at the minute. I think the lack of number 10 is what Defoe's needing at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that before from a few callers, Mark Guidi, talking about this lack of number 10. The good thing, if you like, about Alfredo Morelos is he doesn't tend to rely on that. He tends to create his own chances, and that's why Rangers have been, you know, much more effective when he's in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this, the number 10 thing, a lot about Rangers, and for me, I think the service that Rangers get from the wide men means that they shouldn't be so reliant on this, you know, number 10. I don't think they have an out-and-out number 10 at the club, and number 10s are hard to find. If you do find one, they're not cheap. But I think the service you get from Candeas and Kent is good enough, because it's been good enough for Morelos. They can scrap about. So I think, personally, I think there's too much made of this number 10 thing at Rangers, because you've got two right good wingers there.
Having said that, Craig, strikers do fall into that category, don't they? Some are just great at creating openings for themselves, making space for themselves, making chances, and that's Morelos in a nutshell.
Yeah, he leads the line really, really well. I happen to agree with the caller. I think that's what they were missing in January, was a number 10. I said that on the show then, before. Someone who can go and break the lines, someone who can go and link, you know, and Davis was supposed to be the answer, and that's not his style of play. I think Rangers have got too many players in the centre of the park who are very, very similar. They like to get the ball, they like to move it on, they like to keep possession. And I think a number 10, somebody who can go beyond and link the play, would help Morelos no end.
Who would you get? I mean, realistically though, who's... And I know it's not your job to scout for Rangers, but in terms of that, you know, where do you find that kind of guy?
It's not easy to find.
I understand they're difficult to find, and they do cost a lot of money, but a club like Rangers, if they're spending £20,000-£30,000 a week to subsidise Davis's wage to the end of the season. There must be somebody out there or some sort of quality that they can get in there. I think Kent would be a good player in there. You know, he's somebody that will commit players. If you get movement off him, if there's good interlink, good change up front, then you need somebody to replace him on the left-hand side.
Mitchell, I think most people expect Morelos to start. I think that speaks for itself. What else is on your mind with regards to the team that needs to go out there tonight?
Well, I think the team, it's got to be an attacking team. You know, Kamara can probably come in and do as they usually do and sit in and try and counter-attack. I think that he's got to try and go the kind of typical home formation that he's been, especially with Morelos back. But I'm just kind of fingers crossed that Arfield's playing tonight. I feel that when he plays, he makes runs into the box and gives us that little bit extra. I don't think we need to play like we did at the weekend with St Johnson, with technically three central defensive midfielders of Kamara, Crowley and Davis. I didn't think it worked. I think hopefully if Arfield's fit, he'll give us that little bit extra going forward. I was only just touching the point as well. It was made just about 5 minutes ago before I called in regarding Gerrard. I think Gerrard's had a fantastic start to his Rangers career. I think, first of all, guiding us through first team, you know, in the UK, I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, to get us into the group stages through the four qualifying rounds, nine men in Russia, is absolutely phenomenal. I think right up until Christmas, I think everybody could give him his plaudits and say he's been doing a fantastic job. Yeah, turn of the year, it's been a slip, but I've got every confidence in him with 12 games to go. Still got to play Celtic twice. We're still in the cup. There's a lot to play for. I think any Rangers fan at the minute that essentially, as I say, the league's over, this is over, that's over, I think you should give your season ticket back and let people go to the match and going to get behind the team and support the team. There's a lot to play for and we're still right in it, I think.
Mitchell, it was me that raised that, and to be fair, I did say that he had a fantastic start to his career, but as the manager of Glasgow Rangers, you can't be good for half a season. It's not acceptable.
I completely get that, but I think it's only 8 points. There's a lot of games to go. 8 points isn't a lot.
It's 8 points just now, but the form that Celtic are on, where they don't look like, certainly at home, getting beat off anybody, and Rangers struggling, are you telling me you think that gap's going to shorten or it's going to grow? Because for the gap's only going to get wider.
Well, we'll soon find out, I suppose, but I still think it's wide open. There's 12 games to go. We've still got to play Celtic twice. You can't tell me Celtic are going to go unbeaten to the end of the season. In the same token, I don't think we'll go unbeaten to the end of the season, but it's still open. You never know. If you go to Parkhead any day in an Old Firm day, you could go there and get a victory. It's still wide open, I think. I wouldn't be counting us out just yet.
Right, I think Rangers have got a chance, but I think just one word that you've used, Mitchell, to describe Stephen Gerrard, and Craig's agreed with you. He's done in the first half of the season a fantastic job. Fantastic's too strong a word. Fantastic is at your end of the season, you've won the league. That's a fantastic job. A very good job so far. So I think, you know, I think big words and strong adjectives like that. So far, it's been very good, but it's not fantastic. Fantastic is when you win something, whether it be the Scottish Cup this season or you topple the champions. That's fantastic, but you don't say fantastic until you've reached something like that.
Let's get the pre-match thoughts of Stevie Clark.
Another cracking game, great atmosphere. I know my players are really looking forward to the game. I think they know that, by and large, we're going to give them a tough game. We're going to try and pose them as many problems as we can, and hopefully we can get the result that sends our supporters home happy on Wednesday night. I'll put enough pressure on my players. I want to be in the next round of the Cup, and my players want to be in the next round of the Cup, so the pressure that we put ourselves under will be big enough. Same approach as always. Train well, work hard in training, get ready for the game, prepare properly, make sure that we're tactically ready, physically ready, which we will be, and then try and give your best on the night. It's about going and playing as well as we can play. If we do that, then we can cause Rangers problems. I think Stephen will be happy that he's got Morelos available for this game. He's a terrific player. He's definitely a threat. I'm hopeful that I'll have Stuart Finlay back as well. He's also a terrific player and would give us more strength at the back. So hopefully they can cancel each other out.
John's on the line. He's from Paisley. Hi, John.
Evening, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Nice things.
Yeah, all good.
Craig, you made a point there. You said you kind of see how Celtic will drop points and they're on their own. But then you missed. You came back to another thing. You went at home. So what you're trying to say, they're on a great run at home, but no away from home. So there's obviously going to drop points by the sounds of things, what you're saying.
Yeah, I never said they wouldn't drop points between now and the end of the season, but the gap...
You think the gap's going to get wider?
Well, I do think the gap's going to get wider, because I think they'll drop less points than Rangers will, which means that the gap will widen.
Well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to that.
Of course it is.
What makes you think that? Because Celtic struggled hard there.
they struggled the other day against a very well organised Kilmarnock side, but they still managed to get the winner in the end, albeit via deflection.
Right, but they struggled. So how do you know they no struggle at home either?
There's 12 league games left. So with the goal difference and the point gap at the minute, there needs to be at least a 3-game swing in Rangers' advantage, and I think that's far too much at this stage of the season.
Well, that's your entitled to your opinion.
Absolutely.
I mean, and as you were saying about the number 10, at the moment, as he talking about fantastic, Mark. Well,
yes,
I think he's done an enormous job turning us round about in the last 6 or 7 months. No talking about fantastic, and I can understand what you're saying, but he's done an enormous job.
It's been a good John. I don't dispute that, and particularly, I think getting Rangers into Europe got them off to the best possible start, you know, and had Rangers not got into Europe, I think there'd be more scrutiny in terms of domestic performances for Rangers and results. But getting them into Europe was a big statement by Steven Gerrard.
Especially what he all the way from the first
absolutely
round.
Absolutely, of course, you know, to go in at the end of June, squad overhaul, you know, you look at some of the duds that he inherited that he had to clean up, but then to get them through Europe and then to get some really good results. We're doing ever so well after 4 games in a section, it just kind of collapsed a bit in the last two. But listen, he's been a great appointment for Rangers. I really like him. I'm reading his stuff today from all his press conferences. I love the fact that he's confident enough in his own ability to nail his players. There's not enough of that in the game, so I like his management style. I've said in this programme 3 months ago, he's got the potential to be a fantastic manager, but at the moment he needs to win the Scottish Cup, because I agree with Kate, I'd never rule Rangers out at this stage, but I'd say their chances of winning the title are now no more than 10%. So the focus clearly for Rangers 100% is to win this William Hill Scottish Cup.
Final word to you, John. Yep, final
can
word
I
to you on you go. Yep.
Right, see what we're talking about. See, at the moment, I said this before, Gerrard's blamed to so many defeats or whatever because he's changed the system. Had he went with the team that beat Celtic against Kilmarnock and on Saturday, but obviously Bar Morellis, we don't seem to struggle. But when he's tinkering with the team with Davis and stuff like that, Davis doesn't look the player or half a man that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And since every game he's come in, we've struggled.
So you're now having a go at what Steven Gerrard's done?
No, I'm not having a go at him. I'm not having a go at him. I'm saying this is where he's learning. He's got to learn. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm saying. He's learning. And some of the things he's learning is by mistakes he's got to learn by.
All right, fair enough. Thank you to John in Paisley, 01419511025, to join him on the lines. The notion of foreign referees in Scottish football, that came up today. If you've got any thoughts on it, we'll take them right now, and we'll get to that after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Mark Guidi here to take your calls, so get in touch, give us your thoughts ahead of Rangers against Kilmarnock. What about Celtic's trip to Valencia tomorrow as well? We are on Twitter as always, at Clyde SSB. Now here's a story, Mark Guidi, which appeared today, the suggestion that there may be an appetite within Scottish football to explore the possibility of bringing in foreign referees to enhance the standard, I guess, to give us a hand. Is that one you can see happening? Any benefit in that?
No, I don't see the benefit. I dare say there's been discussions, and it's something that would pop up on the agenda as you know, something to explore and look into. But for me, no. You know, if we can find the money to get VAR, and I think that's the way ahead. I also don't believe in full-time referees either, not in our country. So look, I think our referees have had a really tough season. I think there's been a lot of mistakes made on the pitch by our officials, but you know, as I've said before, our match officials are easy targets. You know, players have got a lot to blame for things, managers as well. You know, I take example Gary Holt on Saturday, the Livingston game. Now you see the red card for his player, Sean Byrne, shocker of a chance. They're then denied a penalty, which I think is a penalty as well. Now that might be the way it was edited, but of course the manager's highlights on we've cost points because we didn't get a penalty. Well, actually no, it was your red card that cost you points. So again, you know, managers put pressures on referees. So to answer your question, no, I don't see it happening, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Our understanding of the story, Craig, is that the 12 clubs did meet on Monday, but it wasn't an emergency explosive meeting. You know, it was already in the diary, it was meant to happen anyway. It's been there for months. The 12 clubs met and actually did not discuss the possibility of foreign referees. That may well come up again in the near future. There may be an appetite among some clubs. It's not been looked at yet, but generally, is it something you think we should push forward with?
No, I'll be honest, I think it's absolute nonsense. I think the refs that we have, I think they can be good enough. I think some of them, most of them are good enough, and they're at a level that, you know, they've earned and they've got there and they've worked hard to get there. And to think that we can go into what, France, Spain, Germany, Scandinavia, and take their top tier referees is ludicrous. If we're not going to get their top tier refs, what are we going to get? You know, the second or third division referees, I think they would be worse than what we've got. I think what we need to do is, I think first and foremost, I think the players need to act more responsibly. Talking about issues this season with maybe simulation or lashing out and giving referees decisions to make. I think where clubs need to stop issuing statements when decisions go against them. And I think the fans need to calm it down with their conspiracy theories.
01419511025, let us know what you think. Gary is a Rangers fan from Thornley Bank. Foreign refs, would that do it for you, Gary?
Not at all, not at all. Hands to Mark and Craig as well.
Hello.
Hi, Gary.
The reason I say no is, right, I'm talking about competence of our refs. Now, the foreign refs were going to be any better. They wouldn't need to be that got in for them.
Say that again, Gary, the line broke up a little bit.
Sorry, I was just saying, if foreign refs were any better than ours, then they wouldn't have needed VAR to be brought in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point, Mark. You know, if you know, this idea that somehow they're going to get far more decisions right and we don't need VAR, you know, these referees. And what always fascinates me, right, because we, of course, we only look at our own game, really, and we'll catch bits and pieces. I know some people do follow other leagues. I would guess there is not a country in the world that doesn't think their referees are poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not as if you stumble across a country and everybody goes, by the way, you should come and see our refs, they're brilliant. Honestly, yeah, they get everything. That just doesn't happen. Yeah. But we are so obsessed with this at the moment that perhaps we are under this illusion that, you know, if we recruit these guys, they'll be much better than what we've got.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's human error all over the place, and it'll be the same with referees. And as Craig said, you've said, even if we were to get the foreign referee in, we ain't going to get the cream of the crop. You know what I mean? Because they'll be doing the big games in their own respective countries. So for me, it's a non-starter. But what I would say, Gordon, you know, Craig mentioned conspiracy theories there, and I agree. And I can remember, because I was at the heart of the stories, what is it, a decade ago?
Just with the strike?
With the strike, mm-hmm, and the Neil Lennon, the game Dundee United v Celtic, you know, Doogie 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 Gate, all that kind of stuff. So I was at the heart of those stories, so I remember them well. I also remember 20 years ago, well, when Rangers were going for 9 in a row and 10 in a row. And I think what we have to do is find some kind of way where things are going to, as best we can, keep on an even keel next season, especially if Celtic win the league this year, because it could end up being madness, absolute madness, particularly in this part of the country next year. If Celtic are going for 9 and Rangers are trying to stop it, it will be madness. And what we don't need, as Craig said there, is managers and football clubs and other people making the situation worse. So referees are in for a hell of a season next season, and we need to do what we can to protect them and to give them the best possible tools to make sure that we limit the chance of mistakes in big games, because it is seriously going to be under the microscope next season.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Craig, just to add a bit more on the story. The Referees Union Prospect have issued a statement today saying, if there is substance to the media reports that Scottish Football Association are in talks with clubs about introducing overseas officials, it's another appalling development. Everyone involved agrees that professionalism and standards in many areas of Scottish football needs to be driven up. It goes on to say that we will seek the Scottish FA urgently clarifies its position on the matter.
What I was going to say is, myself and Mark had a discussion about 10 days ago about the referees and communication and their body language and maybe levels of arrogance and being over officious within the matches. That's everything I see when I watch foreign football and when I watch foreign referees. So the problems that we've maybe identified over here, you would just ship it in. So what happens if the foreign referees doesn't work? Do we send them packing? Do we just say, right, out you go, and then we have to revert back to what we've got rid of in the first place?
Gary.
Gordon, I was just going to say one more thing to yourself as well before I go, mate. Remember how last week you were talking about players who were better against than for?
Oh, yes.
I'm really surprised nobody mentioned Jason Cummings.
Ah, eight, okay. Fair.
8-11 for Hibs against Rangers and 2-15 for Rangers.
There we are. That was one that slipped through the net. Were you on that night, Mark Guidi? We're talking about players who were better against you than for you. Yeah, no. Was it not? And Jim Duffy, because people kept phoning up and saying Jim Duffy, and he was here in the studio.
Yeah, you did. That's right. That was last Wednesday night.
There we go. Good shout from you, Gary. 01419511025. We've also been getting the thoughts on this today of the Scotland national team manager, Alex McLeish. He was asked about it. He says it's time to get behind our Scottish referees instead of scrutinising them. The Scotland boss says he also doesn't think foreign officials would help.
It's just the scrutiny, you know. It's like everything else now. We've got social media, we've got social network now. There's absolutely no hiding place. I feel for the referees. I was always sympathetic, even in my day with the referees, and I always tried to, you know, be as, no saying friendly, no trying to get decisions, but it was more, you know, accepting that they had a job to do and we had a job to do. And I feel, obviously, the scrutiny now is absolutely intense. And, you know, give these guys a break. Let's get behind them. You know, we have to try and help the referees as much as possible in our own country. These guys brought up here, you know, let's encourage them and get them to be better.
Would bringing in foreign referees, Alan, would that be a backward step, do you think, for refereeing in Scotland?
It's not really something that I want to discuss. You know, I say back your boys. That's my stance on it.
01419511025 to have your say on the matter. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Let's take another call from Kenny, who is a Motherwell fan. Hi, Kenny.
All right, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Kenny.
Just wanted to add my 2 cents about the referee debate.
Mm-hmm.
This season, more than anything else, there's been a lot of rhetoric coming from the managers. Obviously, supporters are unhappy with a lot of the decisions that's went through this year. It is difficult as a supporter. You will fight your own team's corner all the way. But there's also got to be something said for fighting for our voice. And Alan McLeish said it there, get behind our referees. Now, I don't believe that there's any referee in the Scottish game that has an agenda against any team or an agenda for any other team. And that's very, very important. Because first of all, if you start thinking that, you know, certain referees have certain agendas, then it does not serve the purpose of our game well at all. And it puts our game in disrepute to thinking in that way. These are individuals who are working hard to try and do a job and try and add something to their game. Now, they make mistakes, and it happens regularly. I remember cursing Craig Thompson last year because he sent off about 4 Motherwell players in the one season. But do I believe that he had something against Motherwell? No, I don't. Do I believe that he made some wrong decisions? I do. And you know, retrospectively, some of those decisions were turned over, as albeit frustrating at the time. They need help. They need help to be able to get it right. And I don't think that bringing in referees from another country, that is not the kick in the teeth that these referees need, because they need the confidence, just like football players need confidence to be able to perform. I couldn't imagine the confidence of our referees this season to go into a game and, you know, on a knife edge, no wanting to make a mistake, because they don't want to make mistakes. Nobody believes that they're there, but they get hung out to dry on a regular basis. And I think that the FA, the Scottish Football Association, should take a harder stance on the managers and saying, look, if you're going to be criticising the referee in an open public forum, then you're going to get sanctioned for it, and things are going to happen. Because, I mean, it's all right for them to debate things after it, but when they call into calling somebody's nature into the fray, or that they're incompetent or this and that, it just can't be allowed to say it. It wouldn't happen in any other workplace apart from refereeing.
I mean, I suppose there is a disciplinary system in place where if managers go overboard and they infer bias or incompetence, I mean, there is a fine there, Mark. But Kenny does hit on a point. I think Craig raised it earlier. This is not to say referees are above criticism. We all agree that we see so many mistakes and we would like to see less mistakes. That's very obvious. But at what point are we all going to get together and try and be a bit more responsible about it? When the clubs take a bit more responsibility? When the players take a bit more responsibility? Because until then, I'm not sure I can see this situation getting any better, foreign refs or not.
No, they ain't going to. Bottom line, lesser, stricter sanctions put in place by the Scottish FA, by the SPFL, whatever it may be, governing bodies, then referees are always going to be, let me say, a convenient target for managers and players after a game. Now, I can accept some things that when referees have absolute howlers, and it does happen, well, again, you could be talking about a manager losing his job on the back of something. So I get the frustration, I get how somebody can spill out, but when it's a convenient one to mask over the deficiencies in your own team or whatever, then that's out of order. The other thing about the foreign referees as well, Gordon, just something's occurred to me, if you bring them in, if you're going to go down that road too, what's the point in having a system of promoting from within? So I think, as the SFA will tell you, it's hard enough to actually get referees on board now at a young level because of the abuse that they take on school pitches and amateur pitches and stuff like that as well. So if you're stopping the pathway into senior refereeing, then you're really, really risking a lot.
And we know we specialise in our theories and all the rest of it here. Can you imagine the situation? Because this wouldn't be no Scottish refs and all foreign refs. It would be a mixture. So the problem would not go away. This phone line would be inundated with calls saying, well seen, we've got a Scottish ref this week when they've got one of the... exactly what it would be.
What this school stuff, did that German referee go to?
This stuff would never go away. That would never go away, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And there has to be a greater level of responsibility from people within our game, football clubs, right down. But to be honest, I can't see it. And I think that's where, I think certain times referees don't help themselves. The governing body doesn't help itself. But I don't know if it's possible, but I think our governing bodies need to show a greater bit of strength,
Clyde One. The Cash Register. With wholesale domestic bathrooms Hillington and their fantastic winter sale. In store and online.
Yes, another day and another big winner on the Cash Register. Grant called Chris a bit earlier on. He was working in an office, so he had to be quite quiet on the phone line.
You've
won £18,500.
I'd like to scream right now, but I'm in the middle of a very big office.
By the way, you've got to admire him for keeping his cool, Mark. We did 18 grand, the guy's just won. He's at work and he's whispering away.
Was it 17 grand the other day as well?
Exactly.
Great money.
Big money to be won. More than 18 and a half grand on its way to Chris's bank account. The Cash Register returns across the Hit Network Scotland tomorrow. So this is the important bit for you. George will reveal a new cash amount at 8 a.m. when we start a brand new game on Bowie at breakfast. So quite simply, make sure you're listening, make sure you remember that amount. Now, to enter, text YES to 61025. It's £2 to play, plus your standard message rate. The T's and C's and online entry are on our website. You could be the next big winner on Clyde One's Cash Register with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Mark Guidi and Craig Beattie here with me, Gordon Duncan. No Jim Duffy tonight, Mark Guidi. And I remember last week it was something to do with a concert or music, and that's why he couldn't make it. And I can't remember, so I think it's only appropriate we start a rumour that he's at the Brit Awards. He's on the red carpet. Can you picture it?
Yep,
the paparazzi, Jim Duffy, the suit
he's
on.
He's at the Brits. He's finishing a night off with Pink. It's a duet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tonight, but I do remember where he is. I do remember the concert.
Right, okay.
He's at.
Spoil my rumour.
I don't want to spoil. No, we'll keep the rumour going. But
right, okay.
We can then see if the listeners can guess where he really is. If it is at the Brits or if he's at a do elsewhere.
Jim Duffy at the Brits. I like that. I'd like to hear that feature on the radio. Craig Beattie and Mark Guidi are here. Give us a call or send us a tweet. We must be minutes at the most away from finding out the teams ahead of Rangers and Kilmarnock. So as soon as we get you them, get your reaction into us. On the subject of foreign refs, lots of tweets coming in. The Pen says, I can't wait for overseas officials in Scottish football. I'm looking forward to the first tweets and callers saying how Danish, French, German, Moldovan refs have an agenda against insert club here, he says. But Adam Carey says, I've had part-time staff work for me, and although some have been great, others are not because they're part-time. The Scottish FA should back the refs, bring them full-time with support and training. That's the only way standards will improve. David in Hillington, what do you think?
Hi, how you doing? Well, I don't see what the resistance is against this. Now, 30, 40 years ago, when international players came into Scotland and the influx, we had the same attitude of, we don't need international players here. But they brought good habits as well as bad habits, certainly. But in all parts of football, any members of staff can travel the world. Why are referees off limits? Why do the referees have to be from the country the game is played in? When you play international games or European games, they use refs from other countries. So why can't it all be extended to include all the domestic games? And I don't just mean Scotland, I mean as a whole. But we're talking about Scotland here.
I think, well, David, if you're looking upon it that way and you're talking about something that would be uniformed by UEFA, then listen, I can see the points. So it would mean that our official, it'd be like Champions League and Europa League things every week for domestic football. Mm-hmm. So our refs could go to Germany or France or Czech Republic, wherever they want to go. Listen, if you're floating that idea and UEFA were to back it and you would end up with more full-time referees, then yeah, I could see the merit in that. Yeah, I can. I'm not against that idea, to be honest.
But so your problem is then the idea that we would be the only, or one of, before somebody gives me another example, the only league doing it. That would be your
objection. Yeah, because I think the message that we are sending out with this just now would be we are doing it, you know, there's a revolt on in Scottish football against the referees. Whereas if you're talking about something that's uniformed by UEFA, that's a totally different mindset.
Yeah, do you see a difference there, David, or not for you?
Well, The issue with this is that whichever club that you support, you've got an issue with referees. That's what it boils down to. However, these things usually change because of those negative reasons. In the end, they become positives, but they change in the first instance because there's been issues. Now, with the VAR, with all of these sorts of things, there's been trials with other countries. Why can we not trial this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I suppose if you want to be progressive and forward-thinking, Craig, then we shouldn't be scared to give things a go. That's what David's suggesting.
Listen, I'm all for making the standards better, and the better the standards are, the less debate and the less scrutiny surrounding the referees, and I think that would be a positive. As far as the VAR goes, it's going to be costly. So I don't know why we would trial it if we've then not got the substance to go and actually get the equipment in and do it properly.
01419511025. Thanks for that, David, but I'm going to leave it there because we do have breaking team news from Ibrox. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, three changes for Rangers going into this one. McCrory, Davis and Defoe all drop out, and it's Ryan Jack, Scott Arfield and the returning Alfredo Morelos who are in. So for Rangers, starting lineup in goal, Wes Fodringham, a back four of James Tavernier, Joe Worrall, Connor Goldson and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Ryan Jack, Glenn Kamara and Scott Arfield, with Ryan Kent and Daniel Candeas either side of Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes, Firth, Katic, Halliday, Davis, Koulibaly, Lafferty and Defoe. As for Kilmarnock, two changes for them. Alex Bruce and Yusuf Malumbu come in. Kirk Broadfoot, who is suspended for this one, he drops out, and Jordan Jones drops to the bench. So it's Daniel Backman in goal. It's a back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Alex Bruce, Scott Boyd and Greg Taylor. It looks like a diamond in midfield. Gary Dicker at the base, Chris Burke and Alan Power in front of him, and Yusuf Malumbu is in behind Eamon Brophy and Connor McElhenney. The substitutes, McDonald, McKenzie, Boyd, Jones, Njoli, Millen and Tishbola. The referee for this one at Ibrox is Alan Muir.
Right, quick, let's get your thoughts in before the news on the reaction to that team news. Mark Guidi, what do you make of that? Is that about as strong a team as Steven Gerrard could have picked? There were question marks over Arfield and Jack. They both make it and Morelos is in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the back four, it's probably strongest back four, particularly Conor Goldson in there. I think it's his strongest front three with Kent, Morelos and Candeas. And then for me, I think it's fairly open in terms of the midfield area. You know, I don't think Rangers have got a standout midfield. I think they've got really good midfielders, but I don't think there's a real standout. But again, it comes back to the question, it's a good thing that Steven Gerrard is not allowing the money and Stubbins says, "Oh, I've brought in Davis and Defoe. I need to find a way to play them, or I'm going to be question marks for me." So I think that shows a sign of good management. That okay, yeah, we've spent big money on them, there's question marks, but I ain't going to play them
just
for the sake of it. So I think that's a good sign of management that he's clearly playing his best players. But you would expect that from a manager, because tonight, listen, if Rangers are knocked out tonight, season's as good as over.
Mark, is that a sign that somebody else has brought the players to the club?
No, I'm 100% sure, 100% about Jermaine Defoe, Steven Gerrard's signing. Steve Davis, I don't know, but I dare say, listen, it would have been fine. And I think we all thought at the time, and they might still come good from Davis, but certainly it's had a slow start for the club.
From a Kilmarnock perspective, are you slightly surprised to see Jordan Jones on the bench?
Slightly surprised, especially after scoring against Rangers the last time.
But because of that, then this can't be anything to do with his impending move to Rangers, can it?
No, he played him last game. He backed him the last time. He played him, and the boy came up trumps for his manager. To be fair, I do think that Kilmarnock team has been strengthened with Malumbu and Bruce coming in. Great experience for both of them. I know we said that Malumbu might be playing in the hole. I've played with Yusuf, and there's no way he's playing as the number 10 tonight. He will be camped in there.
And McElhenney's lively for them, Craig. I thought he looked lively on Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. I thought the three of them up top were actually really lively. Good pace, good movement for the counter attack.
Right, Andy's a Rangers fan from West Lothian. You've just heard that team, Andy. What do you make of it tonight?
Well, not too despondent with it at all. I'm quite happy to see Davis and Defoe benched, to be quite honest with you. I think it's going to take them a wee while to get seated in there and start doing the business. But I've no doubt they will do eventually. But not for tonight's game at all. Not for tonight's game. I think the team we've put out will be more than able to take Kelly to task tonight. Hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, keep going, Andy.
I don't know if you want me to come on the points that I was wanting to raise
sure,
anyway.
Absolutely. On you go.
Yep.
Yeah, on you go, Andy. We've got you.
Yeah. I was wanting to raise the point. I tried to get through the last... Well, I did get through last night, but unfortunately didn't go on. You were talking about leadership at Ibrox. And I don't know so much about the position, the left-back position, but we in my eyes, or Rangers in my eyes, have the perfect leader and the perfect left-back at Ibrox at this moment in time. Now, Stevie G must be seeing something. He must have deteriorated to some effect. I'm talking about Lee Wallace. Lee Wallace was a brilliant leader and a brilliant left-back. Once again, that's in my eyes. And as I say, he must have went back some distance that he kind of get into that team where we've got the likes of Worrell, Katic and Flanagan. I mean, the three of them wouldn't be able to lace Wallace's boots, to be quite honest with you.
All right, let me put that to the guys, Andy.
I've ask you in terms of, you're more on the pulse day to day things in terms of what's going on with the media than I am now, but has the outright question ever been put to Stephen Gerrard in terms of is there politics involved, or is it purely down to ability that Lee Wallace is not involved?
From memory, the last time he spoke about it, he just said that he felt he had better options in that area of the park. That's the last one I can remember. There may have been something since that slipped
my mind.
There's
nothing to suggest it's anything from above.
He just said he felt he had better footballing options.
Listen, you know, I think Andy makes a great point. I mean, we don't know, we're not seeing Lee Wallace day to day, and obviously he's been out of action now for best part of a year, if not longer.
I mean, he came on at St Johnstone, didn't he? Yeah. He came on for like a minute,
but
or something at Firth Park, yeah.
Period. And one thing I would say about Lee Wallace is he's a good person, good footballer, and Craig will know better than me as well, but from all accounts, a fantastic professional. And it's a shame that there's maybe a kind of cloud has been hanging over him for a wee while in terms of what happened to after the game against Celtic. When it was him and Kenny Miller, and I've kind of felt from a bit, because I think his professionalism and what he is as a person deserves better than that.
Thank you. I agree with you as well. I think he's a super player. I think he's a leader as well. If he's not in Stephen Gerrard's plans, I would have liked Stephen Gerrard to push him on there in January, which didn't seem to be any noise about moving on in January, because he'll be taking up a bit of wages. As far as the leadership goes, you're talking about left back, the right back, the captain, Tavernier's not for me. Not at all.
In terms of a leader?
In terms of a leader, in terms of what he offers the team. I think he's poor defensively. I think he flatters to deceive going forward. He's just not a Rangers player.
His numbers are good though, the number of assists that he creates and the number of chances, and then of course reliable-ish now from the spot kick.
Yeah, his chances are good, but he takes all the set pieces. He takes everything for... He takes all the free kicks, he takes all the throw-ins, he takes all the penalty, he takes everything except throw-ins down the left-hand side.
Thanks to Andy in West Lothian, it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now remember, we are at the mercy of Celtic's timekeeping over in Spain. We'll bring you the press conference as soon as we can, but obviously we can't do it until it happens. So stay with us, we're going to play Beat the Pundit. Your chance to take on Mark Weary or Craig Beattie. Remember, all this week, just for getting through, even if you don't get any right, a pair of tickets to an event with John Gregg and Richard Goff here in Glasgow on the 29th of March. Even if you're not a Rangers fan, you'll know somebody who is, so it's the chance is there. 01419511025. Be quick, you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Mark and Craig both standing by. One of them is taking on Martin, who's a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. How are you tonight, Martin?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thanks yourself.
Have you ever played before? Is this a debut for you on Beat the Pundit?
Oh, it's a debut.
Oh, don't be nervous. Honestly, it's only the three of us plus a couple of $100,000, you'll be fine. Just for getting through though, Martin, this might take the pressure off. You don't even need to get any right. I mean, I would advise that you do, but even if you don't, you've still won yourself a pair of tickets to that event with John Gregg and Richard Goff at the Doubletree by Hilton here in Glasgow on the 29th of March. Happy with that?
Oh,
Well, it's absolutely perfect.
Good stuff. Right, well, I'm going to toss the coin and see if you're up against Mark Guidi or Craig Beattie. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Craig. And it is tails, Craig Beattie. He hangs his head there. He knew it was. Have you played before, in fact?
Aye.
And was it a victory?
2-1 up at the minute.
Two and one. I know you're into your boxing, right? Right, Martin, I'm going to give Craig some Clyde 2 in his ear so he doesn't know what we're saying. And we'll get your clock ready to go. Martin, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Craig. You can pass, remember. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
What type of animal is on Peterhead's badge?
Pass.
What year did Livingston win the Scottish League Cup?
2001, sorry.
Who missed a penalty for Rangers against Kilmarnock in the last meeting?
James Tavernier.
What was the full time score of last night's Highland Derby?
2-1, Inverness.
Who is the manager of Queen of the South?
Pass.
Where did Craig Levein start his playing career?
United.
What nationality was former Hamilton player Jason Scotland?
Nigerian, I'm sure.
Okie doke, let me bring Craig Beattie back. Craig, are you with us? You got us loud and clear. Right, yeah. Same set of questions to you, shall we?
Yep.
What type of animal is on Peterhead's badge?
An elephant.
What year did Livingston win the Scottish League Cup?
97.
Who missed a penalty for Rangers against Kilmarnock in the last meeting?
Tavernier.
What was the full-time score of last night's Highland Derby?
2-2.
Who is the manager of Queen of the South?
Pass.
Where did Craig Levein start his playing career?
Hearts.
What nationality was former Hamilton player Jason Scotland?
Trinidad.
And what was the first Scottish club Tommy Wright managed quickly?
St Johnson.
Okay, you've heard the competition, Martin. What do you think?
Definitely just beat me.
Well, do you know what? I thought he looked a bit ropey as well, Martin, but he might well have done enough. Let's go through them and find out what type of animals on Peterhead's badge. I mean, if you were going to take a guess, Peterhead, what are they into? Fishing? And so on. Yeah, that's kind of fish. There we go. That's the only way I can describe it. What are they into? Fishing. That's the best way. That's the best I've got for you. It was a fish. What year did Livingston win the Scottish League Cup? It was 2004. I feel like taking points off you, Craig, for being so far off. I mean, you were probably playing at that time, were you not?
Was I?
Yeah, exactly. So it was 0-0 after two questions. It got a bit better though. Rangers against Kilmarnock. Who missed a penalty the last time? It was Tavernier. Well, I mean, it was saved, but you know what we mean. So you both got that right. 1-1. The full time score of last night's Highland Derby, it was 2-2, Martin. I don't know if you missed the late equaliser or not, but Craig clearly caught it. It was 2-2, so he goes into a 2-1 lead. The manager of Queen of the South, Craig Beattie,
Naismith.
Yeah, you'd be kicking yourself. It was Gary Naismith. So it's still 2-1. Where did Craig Levein start his playing career?
Cowdenbeath.
It was Cowdenbeath. So it's still 2-1. What nationality was former Hamilton player Jason Scotland? He was from Trinidad, or is from Trinidad and Tobago. So I'm afraid it looks like it's one-way traffic now. 3-1 to Craig Beattie, and it became 4-1, Martin. The first Scottish club that Tommy Wright managed is St Johnson. But Martin, as I said, you've got something to fall back on. You've got the tickets to see John Gregg and Richard Goff anyway. Happy with that?
That's perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers, Martin. That was Martin in Cumbernauld. Your chance to beat the pundit. Same time tomorrow night, 01419511025. Write it down. That's also the number you need if you want to get in touch with us on the phones right now. I've been saying this all night, but it's all I can really say. We're just simply waiting on Brendan Rodgers. I'd like to bring it right now. We're going to have to wait. What do you think his main message will be then? Let's go and second guess. Mark Guidi, how's he going to approach this publicly?
Publicly, you've got to try and get the first goal, Gordon, you know, to have any chance at all, you know, see how Valencia can cope with being under a bit of pressure in front of their own supporters. But to be honest, I can't see Celtic scoring tomorrow night. You know, from the evidence of the 90 minutes, I have to say, underestimated the ability of Valencia. I thought that Celtic could nick a victory last Thursday night, but I was very impressed with them, disappointed with Celtic, and more disappointed that they just didn't mix it up a wee bit, because clearly from after 20 minutes, we could see that trying to get out for the back from Scott Bain to the fullbacks or to Boyata and try to get into Brown never worked. McGregor was stifled of service, and then whenever he did get the ball, the pass wasn't on for him. Beyond that, Sinclair wasn't involved, Forrest wasn't involved, Buck was almost anonymous to get a wee bit of pressure the last 10 minutes when Way and stuff came on and Edward. But over the piece, I'd expect nothing less than a comfortable Valencia victory. I think for Brendan Rodgers, hope there's no major damage done tomorrow night and all the players that he selects come through unscathed and make sure they're available for Sunday against Motherwell.
I think what Brendan's done for the minute he walked into Celtic with regards to Champions League and European football is he tries to get the club to play the same way. He tries to get them to play 4-3-3. He tries to get them up the park. He tries to get the players comfortable handling the ball, taking the ball under pressure. I think the easiest thing in the world would to be play a 4-5-1, park the bus, so to speak, and try and not get beat or try and nick a goal. But his ethos as a footballer, man, is to play, is to manage the ball and try and keep possession. People will criticise him for not getting results by doing it, but he's trying to make the club better rather than just win the odd game. And I've got respect for what he's trying to achieve over a bigger picture than just winning individual matches.
You may as well get your call in now then before we hear from Brendan Rodgers. Give us your thoughts on tomorrow night's game, 01419511025. We have been talking foreign refs, so that's still very much up for discussion. We're looking ahead as well to a huge game at Ibrox, Rangers up against Kilmarnock, 35 minutes to kick off in that one. Your final thought, please, as we build up. Now, we could have a new Scotland player that perhaps you've heard of, perhaps you haven't. Alex McLeish has been speaking today and he says he would like to see Birmingham striker Che Adams represent Scotland in the future. The 22-year-old has already played for England under 20 level. He's got 19 goals for Birmingham this season. He is eligible to play for Scotland though, and here's what Alex McLeish had to say on that.
Yeah, we've looked at Che. Yeah, we have looked at Che. We've looked at a lot of potentials, guys who haven't been in recent squads. We're a small nation. We have to not leave any stone unturned. And Che has been in good form. At the moment, he wants to keep himself playing at club level. He's had a good season. We've charted his progress. I think he looked out when I think at the 21s level. So we'll keep that one open. Leave it up to him just now, and we'll keep monitoring the situation. It was amicable discussions by him and his representative. I never spoke to Che personally, but we've noticed the form that he's been on, and we think we can enhance his career. And it would be up to him now, you know, what his thoughts are on the next few months or so.
If anyone out there has seen Che Adams play, thinks he could or could not do a job for Scotland, why not let us know? 01419511025. I bet we've got a Birmingham fan out there somewhere. Mark Guidi, I know this notion doesn't sit right with some people, this idea that, you know, maybe we'll, you know, he can get a call up if he's interested in that sort of thing. But that's modern football across the globe.
Oh, listen, if Che Adams wants to come and play for Scotland, I'll take him all day long, because I don't think we've got an abundance of number nines of strikers. He can score goals at that level. I think what Scotland have the advantage, with the greatest respect, I don't think he's going to get anywhere near a full England squad. So I think that it could appeal to him. And listen, as a nation, I'd like to think that if he can help Scotland get through the Euro playoffs or get through to this section that's about to kick off in 3 or 4 weeks' time, then we would welcome him with open arms. And if he's eligible through a grandparent, whatever it may be, then, you know, good on him. And I hope we get it over the line.
Craig, you've been in Scotland squads. You will have played alongside guys who were born and bred here, guys who qualify through parents and grandparents. What's the dynamic like?
That's absolutely fine. You know, like I said, James Morrison and stuff, he'd never set foot in Scotland, Mozza, until he got a national call up. So, and the lads, he took to it no problem. The lads were more than welcoming, and you know, he's still in and around the squads and doing really, really well. So, you know, the fact that he's not born Scottish is not an issue. You know, fair play to Alec for exercising all avenues. You know, Evans is one that I have kept my eye on, because former teammate mine, Gary Monk's the manager at Birmingham. So as I'm checking the results on the weekend, I've had a little eye on who's been scoring the goals to help him get the results, and he's been the man.
I mean, Mark Guidi, is like all things, it really is down to just your own sort of gut instinct on these things. But I think the overriding one that you hear is, if and I mean, some of the top nations do this. Some of the top nations,
yeah,
call up guys who weren't born there, yeah. And my goodness, if they're doing it, surely us, amidst this massive gap we've had from the last time we qualified for a major tournament, if the top nations can do it, surely it's good enough for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's Republic of Ireland, we're tapping into Declan Rice, and now he's eventually going back to England, the country of his birth. You look at the German team, you know, there's guys here of Turkish descent, of Polish descent. You know, the England boys as well, some of the players, you know, have Nigerian backgrounds and different things. So listen,
the Boateng brothers,
yeah,
playing,
you know,
for different
so
countries.
See if they're there. If it's there, Gordon, we can't afford to knock players back. We've not been at a major final for pushing 22 years. And if you've got a guy who wants to come and play, Not his fault he wasn't born here, but if he's given an invitation, he's willing to embrace it, then why shouldn't we accept it? And I think we will. I think, you know, I know we've not got a home game until June. The first two games next month are away from home, Kazakhstan and San Marino. But beyond that, if Che Adams is involved in the squad in June for our first home game and he's there, then welcome up. And Scott McTominay wasn't born here, but we're delighted what because he plays for Man U. So if Che Adams was playing for Man U and England were chasing him, but we got him, we'd be delighted, wouldn't we? So listen, let's get him on board.
And I suppose, listen, it would be the same regardless of where they played. I'm not sure this changes the situation, but at that end of the field, we don't beggars can't be choosers, essentially. We know there's an ongoing situation with Lee Griffiths. He's out the picture, certainly at the moment and for the foreseeable future. Fair play to Stephen Fletcher. He came in and did very, very well, but I think everyone would agree he's now coming towards the, you know, the tail end of his career. Will Oliver Burke's re-emergence at Celtic transpire into an international career? Who knows? But the bottom line is, we do not have a lot of strikers.
No, and that's why if you know, Alec McLeish can get that over the line. And like I say, I think the fact that I don't think he's ready to go and play for England, you can't see him taking over for Harry Kane or Marcus Rashford or any of those boys, which is fine. That's no slight on the boy's ability. It's just it's a realistic assessment. Then if he thinks Scotland's an opportunity to go and play 40 or 50 times his country, if he does his homework, I've got a chance of being a national hero, of going to help Scotland get to their finals. Why not?
And from a selfish point of view as well, you build your profile and you become a successful international football player, you can add another knot into your contract.
Yep. Come on then, sell it to him. As someone who's scored for Scotland under Alex McLeish in a qualification campaign, what does it feel like? Because Mark and I certainly haven't.
Was it UK? No, who just got, was it
Georgia.
UK?
Georgia.
Listen, I shouldn't have to. He'll have dreamed about scoring international goals when he was a young boy, so he's now got the opportunity to come and join a national team, and he should be snapping it off with both hands. And I'll text Monkson and make sure he pushes him towards it.
Is it as good as it seems though? Better.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Never leaves you.
Do you know what, I didn't realise the significance of it until the following day. Till I came out the stadium and I switched my phone on, and the amount of people that had tried to contact me after it was incredible. Hundreds and hundreds of people by text and voicemail and missed calls. So listen, I just unfortunately only managed to score one, but it was certainly a moment I've savoured.
Listen, it's one more than most. Was that Alex McLeish's first game the last time around?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was at Hampden, wasn't it?
It was debut at Hampden.
It's all coming back to me now. There we go.
Meatloaf.
Not quite. 01419511025. We are less than 30 minutes away from kickoff between Rangers and Kilmarnock. A huge game. Let's get the thoughts ahead of that one from George in Stirling. Hi, George.
Hi, George. I'm Stirling here.
Hi, George. What's on your mind?
I'm on scoreboard, I am.
All right, George, okay. Enjoying yourself, are you?
I know, but it's just so good to be on. I'm excited. I've been trying to get on for the last week to get this point across.
Go for it.
There were so many points, I should be on a buffet table with pickled and cheese and onion on me. But here we go.
Wow, I'm looking forward to this already, George. Floor is yours.
Well, it's about the Kilmarnock game. Well, Rangers game, I should say. Stephen Gerrard, I think he's losing the change room, and I think after tonight, I think Rangers are going to lose 2-0. Candias probably gets sent off. I think Gerrard's going to be under a lot of pressure.
Right, I don't know where to start with that, Mark Greedy, so I'll leave it to you.
So Rangers lose 2-0, Candias gets sent off, and Gerrard will be under pressure while George is
on
eating away
table.
At the cocktail 60. Boys, I'd pass it over to Craig, because Craig fancies Kilmarnock tonight as well, and thinks that inevitably that's going to lead to the axe hovering over Stephen Gerrard.
Let's be serious for a second, George. Where on earth are you getting this, you know, Candias sent off? Where's all this coming from?
Yeah. Candias, the last few games, has just been shocking. I feel his head's just going to go. I don't know. There's just a lot of pressure surrounding Rangers right now, and I think Gerrard's trying to be cool about it, you know, trying to lift the club. You know, they're a big club, but there's going to be a few sending off tonight.
It's a bizarre pre-match prediction, but there we go.
Mystic George. I don't think it'll be 2-0. I think it'll be 1-0. I think Gerrard's under pressure. I've already said that earlier on in the show. I don't know if there's going to be a red card, but I know if there is, then Morelos will be favourite for it.
If there is, by the way, I'm going to phone George back, because I'm going to want to know the lottery numbers if that prediction comes in. Mark Weary, it'll be interesting to see the response that Stephen Gerrard gets, if he gets the one he wants. Everyone agrees that it was strong words from him at the weekend, and you said you like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people who disagree with you would say, well, come on, why is he not taking a bit of the blame and all the rest of it? But you think he's laid down the gauntlet, if you like, to his players.
Yeah, I you know, I've said for a long time, I think players get away with it. You know, this, oh, you can't see anything. You, there's a danger that you lose him. Well, see if they're playing rotten. What have you got to lose? Be having a go. And if you read his actual quotes, you know, I think it just talks about his own integrity. And if a manager left a bit on him, it was fine. You know, you say there, you know, my parents brought me up that way, and I'd rather if a manager was honest with me, not sugarcoat me or lie to me. And that's the way he treats his players. I mean, as he says, it's not that he's throwing teacups around and the tray of sandwiches are getting thrown at players, but he's leaving a bit on them if he thinks it's merited. And his mentality is, which I agree with, it's all about, you know, in any walk of life, if somebody's having a go and questioning ability, your mentality should be, I'm going to show him for myself and the supporters and my family. I'm going to say, oh, he's out of order and going to your
shell. Mark, it should be, but he's played in a different generation of football. I was probably the last in the generation that can deal with that, and the players now are soft. Absolutely no question. You go in there and they criticise and they crumble. They feel like you can't have a go at them. They're sitting there, players are having a go back at the manager. Unlikely they're going to have a go at Steven Gerrard, or there would be teacups flying. But the generation of players that we've got now are soft and they can't take criticism.
The boy's busting.
Yeah,
the boy's bust.
I'm going to have to leave it there. We're a bit pushed for time. George, I was going to bring him back in. I think he's away back to the buffet table. His call has already dropped off. So we'll
back to the bar.
We will leave that one there. We are closing in on hearing from the Celtic camp in Valencia. I promise we'll do it soon. As soon as it finishes, we'll get it to you. And a good full time teaser, a bit of a continental feel to this full time teaser. And it's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Mark Guidi are here. Scott Brown has been speaking in Valencia ahead of that game. Brendan Rodgers as well. We need to be strong, we need to be aggressive, we can't make mistakes, he says. Scott Brown believes Celtic can overcome Valencia, but they need to be patient. So it's just finishing off. We will hear from them very soon. Let's hear from you on the game tomorrow. That means we can get this question up and running. So don't worry, it's not as difficult as last night's. Mark Guidi, I know you heard it, you were listening.
What was that tough?
It was brutal.
Don't you think I would be able to write last night's down? Never mind come up with the
answers. Yeah, there was quite a lot.
It was a long one, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, yeah.
But this one's easier in many ways. So we're looking for 11 players who have won the English Premier League, the World Cup, and the Euros. So they're clearly decent, okay? We're looking for 11 players who've won the English Premier League, the World Cup, and the Euros. You can give it a bash at Clyde SSB on Twitter.
David Silva.
Yes, he's not bad, I think we'll agree.
David De Gea.
No.
Cesc Fabregas.
Yep.
Pogba.
No. See a bit of a theme here. Mark Guidi gets them right, Craig Beattie gets them wrong.
That's an one beat the pundit. I'm not bothered.
I'll take one more guess each.
Let's go with Michael Ballack.
Nope. So Guidi eventually gets one wrong. Craig Beattie, got anything left?
Well, if you've only won the World Cup and the Euro, then you're limiting it
to
Germany and Spain.
At Clyde SSB, you can give us your thoughts as well. Which 11 players have won the English Premier League, the World Cup, and the Euros? Let's speak to Michael in Alloa. Thoughts on the Celtic game tomorrow, Michael?
All right. Just wondering if the guys have any thoughts on if Brendan Rodgers will maybe change it up, maybe not for tomorrow night, but in the future in regards to Europe. You know, try how they play domestically, trying to play the pretty football, but try to do that in Europe, and maybe the first season with like the Manchester result and stuff, it worked, but coming up against, you know, your Spanish teams are really, really good at that. Do you think he needs to change it or get better at what he's trying to do? Well, get the team better at what they're trying to do?
I think he's going to continue to do what he has done. I touched on that earlier in the show. For the minute he walked in against PSG playing 4-3-3 and trying to have a go at them, it's his belief, it's his ethos, it's the way he plays football and the way he coaches football. And you know, whether you like it or not, Brendan's not going to change. He's not going to go with this 5-4-1 or 4-5-1 and have everybody behind the ball. It's not what it does. You create a formation like that and you've got no out ball and you're camped all night long. And you know, over the piece, over the whole, over his time at the club will not have progressed in European football if he starts playing these formations and parking the bus.
I mean, I think it's become pretty clear, Mark, when you listen to Brendan Rodgers, he always talks about sort of sticking to his principles, if you like. I wonder if this would be the ideal chance, because not many, you know, they're 2-0 down and people are not expecting much from Celtic in the way of progression tomorrow. is there any way you can imagine a proper curveball at just a really different formation, even some drastically different personnel?
No, I don't think so. And that's for me. I know what Craig's saying, he admires it and understands it, and obviously Craig's played under Brendan Rodgers at Swansea, so he knows what he's talking about. But for me, from the outside, I find it a frustration, and I think, okay, I understand, start the game the way that you believe in and the way that your players are comfortable with, the way they played 90% of the time. But see if that's not working. If, in the case of Valencia, clearly sussed you out. The Valencia formation clearly had Celtic on the back foot, couldn't get out, couldn't get in behind to hurt them. Then just mix it up. You know, again, I've said, I go back to Martin O'Neill's teams, Gordon Strachan's teams, Neil Lennon's teams that get into the last 16 in the Champions League. Okay, Martin O'Neill's teams never, but the way the success they had in Europe, I know there's different personnel, however, they defended aggressively. And see if they had to go and put it in behind and get the crowd going, get the crowd up and force a throw in near the corner line and stuff like that, Craig. Just something a wee bit different. But for me, watching the game, I only watched it on television last Thursday night, and for me at times it was painful to watch. It was cringeworthy to watch sometimes. I thought, wow, going to try something, just get Ben to launch it and try something different.
There's been times where I've been sat watching it. I watch quite a lot of football with my dad, and I'm saying, like, I know he wouldn't do it, but why not just put the two centre halves up? Because it ends up they're playing long balls to the striker, so you may as well get the two boys up there that are 6'3" and try and get a knockdown. And it actually happened where they got a penalty kick off one of the centre halves, causing a bit of trouble earlier on in the season, scored the penalty and went on to win the match. He's not going to do it. I think he thinks that he could go through a group stage, whether it be Europa League or Champions League. He could park the bus, and if you get 3 or 4 points and nick a couple of draws or whatever out the group stage, you still don't qualify, and you're just providing boring football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think back to the most drastically different thing that he's done in Europe. He went to the Nou Camp, remember, early on, and I think did play five at the back, and it was a proper five at the back. Gamboa played, had a really, really difficult night. But then again, that was Barcelona. You know, that was different. So I wonder if that experience put Brendan Rodgers off at all, thinking, well, do you know what, I did try and park the bus and it didn't work.
Yeah, there's every chat. You know, he believes in what he does. And by the way, when you look at his record, you can understand why he believes. And in the most parts, been successful, particularly at Celtic. There's been a couple of hidings in Europe, but over the piece, you know, 7 trophies out of 7 heading towards, you know, they're potentially only 10 or 11 wins away from doing a treble. So you can understand it, but I just think sometimes you do, I get a wee bit frustrated. But look, that's his philosophy, and that's it. Let him go on with it. He is a manager.
What do you think, Michael?
Aye, Mark stole my thunder a wee bit with when he said about Lenny's teams and Strachan's teams with, you know, being more aggressive defending and trying to nick it. But I think another thing is when you're coming up against Valencia and a lot of these other European teams, they're playing teams domestically week in, week out, that try to do the same thing, play with the ball on the deck, play the nice football, whereas Celtic domestically, you know, it's maybe Rangers who are maybe more well known with playing that kind of football. So I think these guys are way ahead of the game and try to play that football. So I don't think it can be much a surprise when Celtic try and do it.
You're 100% right here, because see, when Celtic are playing domestically and they've got all the ball and the other team's sitting, for example, the Kilmarnock game on Sunday, and it's just constantly attacking with the other team trying to counter attack. When you go to these countries like Spain and France and Germany, that's what both teams do to each other. So the play and the possession and the territory is actually evened out over the match, whereas Celtic are not used to playing like that.
Is that what used to go in Celtic and Rangers' favour in Europe then? Because they came up against these European sides and played them in a British style, if you like, or gave them something different to think about, gave them something that they just didn't face domestically.
Because they would launch it if need be. You know, they would just launch it. Okay, and I know that Celtic had Hearts and... or Sutton Rangers had a Dado Puzzle or you know, whatever was going on, but they still just, they mixed it up a wee bit. And again, just going back to my point, that's what I find frustrating.
Right, never let it be said I'm not a man of my word. It has been a bit longer than I thought, but we can now go to Valencia and speak to Alison Conroy. Alison, thanks for joining us.
Been a bit of a wait here. It was all to do with traffic and people stuck in it, as you would expect in a busy night in Valencia. But Brendan Rodgers has been talking ahead of this game here tomorrow night at the Mestalla. He's full of confidence. He believes that they do have a chance tomorrow night. Kieran Tierney hasn't travelled with the squad. Brendan Rodgers, hopefully he'll be back for the weekend, though Jozo Simonovic is back in the squad. Brendan Rodgers did say after last week's game that an early goal would be vital to them, but he's changed his mind tonight.
No, not really. Not really. I think it's just, like I say, it's making sure that we don't give anything away. You know, we know we're coming to play against a good team, but our focus is very much on, you know, we want to bring our game. We need to be strong. We need to be aggressive. We can't make mistakes.
Alison, I noticed that a lot of Celtic fans who are over in Valencia, not everyone's got a ticket for the game. What type of numbers are expected over there?
Celtic are expecting up to 10,000 Celtic fans to travel. Only 2,500 will manage to get into the ground. When we turned up at Messiah earlier for the media conference, there were so many Celtic fans outside desperate to get their hands on tickets, but they're struggling at the moment. The Valencia say that they're going to be strict. They don't want them in the home end of the ground either. So they're all here, and they're here for a party in the sunshine though, Gordon.
Yeah, a bit different from what we're experiencing. Anyone who is making the journey and hasn't been before, what can they expect, Alison? The Mestalla, quite a place, I would imagine.
Yeah, Mestalla is the oldest ground in La Liga. It's the second oldest ground in Spain. It also has the title of being the steepest ground in Spain. So it's quite a stadium. Valencia itself is absolutely beautiful. As I say, lovely weather, plenty of places for the Celtic fans to visit. It's also the home of the Holy Grail, Valencia.
There you go. If you want to
the cathedral and find the Holy Grail.
Take in some culture. Mark Guiri, you'll have been there before. I went in the summer just on a wee holiday. I didn't go to the stadium.
Beautiful city. I was there a few times, whether it be Celtic Valencia, then later it was Celtic Villarreal, Rangers Villarreal. And yeah, it is very, very steep. I can actually remember a nice wee story with some of my old Sunday newspaper colleagues, Craig, and we were in a wee boozer downstairs, just right outside.
Researching, the stadium, obviously.
Yeah, and we left and went upstairs, and the press box area was right at the very top of the stadium, and we could actually look down. You could actually look out
back into the street.
Yeah. And we could see our table and our drinks were still set. There was something nice about it. But yeah, brilliant stadium. And as Alison knows, herself and you know as well, it's a lovely city, and it'll be nice and enjoyable tomorrow. Get a nice bit of lunch somewhere and enjoy it ahead of the game.
I went to Levante against Motherwell over there. Remember that?
Oh yes.
In the Europa League, and it poured it down during the game. I'm sure it did. So what does that tell you? Kind of took the weather with us. Alison, you also spoke to Scott Brown tonight, didn't you?
Yes, we did speak to Scott Brown as well. Celtic, of course, have never won a competitive match in Spain, but Scott believes that if they learn from last week's mistakes, they do have a chance.
I think we have to bring our A game tomorrow, but we've learned a lot in the last week, how they play, how we can match up against them as well. But I think the second half performance last week, it wasn't up to scratch, so I think we need to make sure we go again and recharge the batteries and start pressing high up the park and putting teams under pressure again.
Thanks to Alison Conroy in Valencia. She will keep us up to speed on everything that's happening ahead of that game tomorrow night. It's 01419511025 to have your say on the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Scott Brown saying there, you know, in the space of the last week, they've learned about Valencia and what they did, and I suppose how Celtic can combat that. What might that mean? What would be the main thing Celtic should have taken away from last week?
Probably the golfing class, to be perfectly honest. They will have learned because they'll have felt it, because they got a bit of a doing last week. But whatever they have learned will have been too late to implement anything and change that for tomorrow night. As Mark says, it's going to be very comfortable.
You go along with that?
Yeah, I mean, what they'll maybe do is they've maybe spotted something, you know, and Valencia get two or three injuries, so they'll have the benefit of actually just knowing how good Valencia are in terms of being up against them man for man for 90 minutes and not coping with it very well. But, you know, how do they go and exploit them? I don't know, I just can't see it, Gordon. I can't see anything other than another comfortable 2-0 for Valencia.
Craig is a Celtic fan in Kirkdonald. What are your thoughts ahead of tomorrow, Craig?
I would like to see a change in the team. I watched the game last week, and I thought we were very slow and lethargic in the midfield. I thought we got caught a few times. I need to agree with Craig. I think the way Brendan Rodgers plays is fantastic, and I don't. It's very easy to sit back and say, okay, we'll soak up and go on the counter attack. I like the way he plays. I just think in the midfield at the moment. And I'll use Scott Brown as an example. I think Scott Brown, in the 80s just now, I think he's getting caught out in quicker games. The games that have got a bit more pace in the midfield, we're getting caught with the ball at our feet. So I think if we're going to do anything tomorrow night, I think he needs to change it up in the midfield a wee bit. Maybe Christie and McGregor in the midfield with a bit more pace. But do I think we'll get anything? Probably not, because they can afford to sit in and let us go to them. And any team that can bring on a £35 million midfielder as a sub, I think we're going to struggle against, to be honest.
I mean, it's funny because these were always the type of games that you were led to believe were perfect for Scott Brown. These are supposed to be Scott Brown's games, but now, and this has been bubbling away since he had that spell out the team. We've got fans like Craig actually thinking that in order to speed up the midfield a bit, maybe tomorrow isn't a night for Scott Brown.
Well, I think he'll definitely play tomorrow night, apart from anything else. He's suspended for Sunday, is that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like you need to try and save him for the league game. He's not available, so you'd certainly play him tomorrow night. And, you know, yeah, okay, he might not have the same mobility as before. I wouldn't argue he's in terms of his energy levels, he'll be as good as I've ever been. But actually, it is exactly kind of like for Scott Brown because his experience and helping the youngsters will be beneficial.
Thanks to Craig and Cardonald. Quickly on the teaser then, which 11 players have won the English Premier League, the World Cup and the Euros? You've got Cesc Fabregas and David Silva so far.
Torres.
Nope. You're doing well.
Juan Mata.
Nope.
Right, who's won the Euros, Squid? Come on.
Laurent Blanc.
Yes.
We'll throw one. I don't think it's right. We'll throw it in. Diego Costa.
No. I'll give you some thinking time.
I think we're looking at Germans, Italians. I think Italians are in there.
I'll give you some thinking
Italians
time.
Germans, Italians, and Spanish.
And we will go back to Ibrox ahead of kickoff next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Guidi and Craig Beattie are here with me, Gordon Duncan. We are moments away from kickoff at Ibrox. It really is a huge night. Rangers against Kilmarnock in a Scottish Cup replay. Andrew McLean, how's it looking?
Yeah, as you say, it's filled up quite nicely here actually after the concerns about the crowd size earlier on. The crowd are here for what is a massive one at Ibrox. Both sides hoping that the Scottish Cup can be their chance to lift silverware at the end of the season. I'll give you a run through of the teams while we wait for them to come out of the tunnel. For Rangers, it's a 4-3-3. It's three changes from their last outing. McCrory, Davis and Defoe drop out with Jack Arfield and Morelos coming in. So it's Wes Fodringham in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Joe Worrell, Connor Goldson and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and Scott Arfield. And the front three, Daniel Candeas, Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent. As for Kilmarnock, they make two changes from the side that lost to Celtic on Sunday. Alex Bruce and Yusuf Malumbu are in. Jordan Jones and Kirk Broadfoot are out. A 4-3-3 for them as well. Daniel Backman in goal. A back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Alex Bruce, Scott Boyd and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Alan Power, Yusuf Malumbu and Gary Dicker, with Chris Burke, Eamon Brophy and Connor McElhenney, the front three. The referee for this one, as the teams come out, is Alan Muir. A win here for either side, but it'll be a big step, obviously, towards the final, but a trip to face Aberdeen at Pittodrie in the next round is a big task. Stephen Gerrard this week, he's been questioning the desire, the leadership, the hunger of his Rangers players, but you'd think this is the perfect opportunity for the players to go out and make a point tonight. And as good as Kilmarnock's season's been, they've actually not won in their last five matches, although they have played Celtic, Rangers, Hearts and Aberdeen in that sequence. Their last win, though, that did come against Rangers under the lights on a Wednesday night. Not far away from kickoff here as the players line up for Rangers against Kilmarnock.
Ah, there we are. Andrew McLean's going to watch that one. He'll keep you updated on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And of course, he will get all the post-match reaction, which we will bring to you on tomorrow night show. Right, we score prediction from you, please, Mark Guidi.
I'm going to go Rangers 3, Kilmarnock 1 after extra time.
Oh, right, okay. One all full time. Craig Beattie?
1-0 Kilmarnock.
In 90 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
I hope I got off air before Rangers score.
Yeah, exactly. After 2 minutes into the game.
Right, he's got right. One in the teaser.
Let me just remind if people are just joining us, let's reread the teaser. Which 11 players have won the English Premier League, the World Cup and the Euros? Now, Martin sent that question in tonight to fulltime@clyde1.com. So that's the whole point of the fulltime teaser. It relies on you sending the questions in. So fire yours over to fulltime@clyde1.com. You've already got Laurent Blanc, Cesc Fabregas, David Silva.
I'm going for Emmanuel Petit.
Yes, Emmanuel Petit. Mark Guidi.
There's a wee theme developing, so I've got another couple. Thierry Henry.
Yes.
Fabian Barthez.
Yes.
And I'm just remembering about the Arsenal team. So on that team, Patrick Vieira.
Yep.
Sylvain Wiltord?
No.
And Robert Pires.
A lovely pronunciation, Pires. All right, you've only got three to get, so we'll leave that there. There's plenty of time to go. We're just getting underway at Ibrox between Rangers and Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup replay, so we'll keep you up to speed on the first 10 minutes or so of that one before we do disappear. You can still get in touch on the phones or on Twitter tonight, so get yours in. What have we got? The Gal is having a good go at the teaser, throwing a good number of them in. Just at the end, though, like it says, can he get any more? Just been obvious.
The only thing that's annoying me is
been clear about that one.
Is Italy in there? Is there an Italian in there? That's the only thing. That's,
I'm tell just you glad what, I got one.
I think Chris Forbes has nailed every one of them.
Yeah.
Stephen McHugh's got some interesting thoughts. Amanda Rankin's thrown a couple in, but I'm afraid, Amanda, they're not there. Okay.
I tend just to wait for the clues, Mark.
Oh, that's if they ever come. I might withhold them tonight. Peter's in Wisher. Hi, Peter.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening, Mark and Craig.
Hi, mate.
Hiya.
It's a wee point I was going to make, but the past 2 weeks, Morelos has been had a suspension, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And the Rangers have not played very well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he's not there, what does that tell you about the rest of his players? Can they not cover up for him? He seems to be the only man give Rangers any results.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. We knew he was an important player for Rangers. Sometimes you realise how important a player is when they are not in the team as well. And maybe that's what we have seen with Morelos over the last couple of weeks.
Gordon, I was on a show a couple of months ago, and there was, I think it was a tweet at the start, I had compared Eduard and Morelos, and I think we spent about an hour and a half of the show comparing the two. For me, I think we've got our answer on who is more important to which club. Rangers really, really struggle without Morelos in there. The formation doesn't seem to suit Defoe. We said how well Morelos leads the line, he gets the goals himself. The chances are not getting created for Defoe. And, you know, Peter's absolutely right. There should be more there. A club the size of Rangers, there should be more there. Lafferty was on fire last year at Hearts. He's now been turned into a 10-minute substitute, if that. But there should be, they should have answers if Morelos is out, yeah.
Putting you on the spot a bit, I'm not looking for like, you know, in terms of who's he identical to, but of all the strikers you played with, or maybe even played against in your time, who were the ones that were like Morelos, that sort of carved chances out for themselves, or hustled and bustled and made things happen, even if there wasn't a great creative spark all the time? I'll give you a minute to think about that. He's just staring into space, hoping he can come up with something. But Mark Guidi is certainly a very unique, not unique, but it's a very specific strength that he brings to the Rangers team.
Morelos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, aye. And you know, if you get a goal at him, you look at his two finishes against Aberdeen, then he spoils a great night by getting a deserved red card for his challenge on Scott McKenna. But Gordon, I think I know the answer to this, but you'll know it, so I'll ask. His disciplining record in Finland was fine, though.
Yeah, it was.
So I don't know what's happened, what triggers this over here. So, because obviously, I know when you play in front of 40, 50, 60,000, then it can get you, and there's a pressure and stuff like that. But if he'd brought that kind of disciplinary, I'd kind of understand. But it makes me think, right, what is actually going on? There's clearly something in there that he can stop it. He is able to prevent himself, but he needs to do it quickly. And as Craig mentioned about Che Adams earlier, put an extra knot in your contract. He's potentially, with a great suspect, he's potentially doing himself out a move 6 months, a year down the line, and adding an extra 20 grand a week onto his contract. So he really needs to rein it in to be properly rated in the game at the higher echelons.
Yeah, club's looking at that with the form that he's on at the minute. You're looking at 6-7 games a season he's going to be missing for through suspension. You know, Luis Suarez done it years ago, right? The amount of games that he'd missed through suspension, he'd never been shown a red card. So you're right, it'll certainly affect him if he doesn't get on top of it. Go back to the previous question. You know, one that I played with that was really good at that leading the line, the kind of lone striker, was Danny Graham. Danny was really, really good at Watford, came to Swansea, he's now at Blackburn and doing really well as well. Mm. You know, he was one that would get in the box and sniff chances out, and he didn't always have to have the chances created or put on a plate for him.
Mm. I mean, the question that Peter posed about, you know, what are the rest of the players doing? And I know it's an easy comparison, but I think it speaks volumes, especially when, if you're comparing to Eduard or whatever. If you look at the number of goals that Forrest and Sinclair have scored this season compared to Candeias and Kent, then you get your answer. And by the way, Ryan Kent is clearly a very, very good player. He's brought a lot to Rangers this year, as has Daniel Candeias, the assists. And I'm not taking anything away from them. If you're talking purely goals, though, when you take Morelos out, there's not that same volume of goals coming from those types of attacking players.
Yeah, and I think one thing you'll probably see more as you'll see Forrest and Sinclair attacking the back posts more. See, when it's in the opposite wing, I think you see them more involved in that central area between the wides of the goalpost. That's maybe something that Kent and Candias can add to their game.
I think the solution for me, if Morelos isn't playing, he's got to change to 4-4-2. You know, you get Kent on the left, you've got Candias on the right, and you've got to go with Lafferty and Defoe up front. You know, Lafferty running about, winning headers, winning flick-ons, and Defoe sniffing out the bits and pieces. I think you've got to sacrifice a midfielder to get the two up front if Morelos is not playing.
Peter, do you want to come back in on that one?
Just one more question, Gordon. Mm-hmm. As the boys said there, when Morelos is not playing, they don't seem to have another kind of backup. What about the rest of the players? If he's not playing, why don't they kind of cover up for him?
Peter, they've got backup. He's just not utilising it properly. He's got Kyle Lafferty, who was one of the best players in the Premiership last season, and he's got Jermaine Defoe, who's been playing in the English Premier League. He's got the backup, he's not utilising them properly.
I suppose if you're looking for a like-for-like replacement, you need to sign a player who's the same type, don't you? Because that way one can come out and you can put the other one straight in and it does the same job and you don't need to alter. But the whole point was, Defoe was meant to be there to give them a different way of playing. Mm-hmm. Mark Guidi. Problem is, you don't get time here. You don't get time to figure it out. If you try that a couple of times and the results don't quite work, people don't tend to be too forgiving.
Yeah, they do. And yet you look at Defoe, he's finished at Pittodrie to make it 4-2. Just take that final wee bit of pressure within the last couple of minutes. A wonderful finish, the way he just peeled off his marker, and then just a brilliant execution. So he's a top player, but because he's up against Morelos, he's not had a chance to get in and be the only striker and be a rhythm and get his teammates round about him to adjust to his best style of play.
Penalty claim early on. Eamon Brophy cuts inside Joe Worrall. He claims he was tripped. Alan Muir says no spot kick. So no drama on that front yet.
Plenty to talk about tomorrow night.
I'm sure we'll get to that. And we've actually got a goal already, and it's a dream start for Rangers. Who scores the goal? Alfredo Morelos. Daniel Candias with the cross. There he is, providing another assist. We said it, Alfredo Morelos back in the team. 6 minutes on the clock. Rangers 1, Kilmarnock 0. Craig Beattie's prediction is out the window in record time. That's what I like to see. He's fallen on from Hugh Keevans here. And that's a great start, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. A great start. And I know Andrew said that Ibrox was nowhere near full, but still the crowd that will be in there will be absolutely bouncing. Takes a bit of pressure. I feel that's what Rangers have to do, is keep their foot on the pedal, because we do know that Kilmarnock certainly have a goal in them.
And we're stating the obvious, we've been saying it all night, but Alfredo Morelos, it's his 24th goal of the season. It's a great return.
It's a great return. And do you know what, we speak a lot more about his talent as a footballer and as a goal scorer, but you know, inevitably the red cards and the indiscipline always pops up, and that's only going to be the case until he actually corrects it and sorts it out. But when you just assess him as a goal scorer, he is very, very good. He knows how to put the ball in the back of the net.
Lots of tweets saying, can't believe you've not mentioned that Stonewall penalty Kelly were denied. Well, I didn't mention it, but to be fair, maybe those tweets were sent before that, so I don't mind that. But Andrew also says, you're not mentioning the fact Morelos should be suspended. I've got no idea what that means, because he shouldn't. He's suspended for the next league game. He's eligible to play in this game, so I don't really know what's behind that one. But anyway, it is a good start for Rangers. What does that do to the dynamic or the way the game's going to play out? Because let's be honest, Kilmarnock are resilient enough to get back into the game. We've seen it a million times. But you also, it's that old cliche, the last thing you when you get sent out of Ibrox, you know, don't lose an early goal, keep it tight and all the rest of it.
Generic messages you get from the manager just before you leave the
every level of football.
The difficulty they've got now is when you set up like that and you're going to be defensive and compact like they tried to do at Rugby Park on Sunday, once you lose an early goal, it is very, very difficult to change, be offensive and go in the front foot.
Honestly, the tweets, and this is where we're at. I mean, PS Scotland, you're a disgrace. This is to Clyde SSB. Stonewall are not giving you, dismiss it like it never happened.
Well, we're
guys,
not there.
Come
we're
on,
not there.
You can. Do you know what? If you want to talk about it,
4-1.
Yeah, 0141.
Apparently, when the foreign refs were the game,
9511025. I think it's time we turn our attentions back to the teaser, because we are running out of time. We're looking for 11 players that have won the English Premier League, the World Cup, and the Euros. What a CV these guys must have. You've got Fabian Barthez, Laurent Blanc, Cesc Fabregas, Thierry Henry, Emmanuel Petit, Robert Pires, David Silva,
and Patrick Vieira, which means you're three away.
I'm going to say one. I think he played for Arsenal, but do you know what? I'm not 100%. I'm saying that. Am I imagining it? David Trezeguet.
I think you're imagining it. Yeah, right, okay. He's certainly not on the.
Okay, I know he played at Juve. I just thought because it was Wenger and the French connection, right? Okay.
Nope. Right. Any more from you? They're all from the same country. I don't mind telling you that.
Was it Germans in?
No.
Spanish.
Yes.
Right. So we're missing three Spaniards.
Yep. And I'm about to press that button.
Was he Antonio Reyes?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Bit of a spread here in terms of positions as well.
Morata?
No.
You said Azpilicueta. Oh, Marco Alonso.
I mean, you're missing some really easy
obvious ones.
The clue that will be thrown you here is the English Premier League. You'll forget that, but he's got a famous wife as well.
Oh, it's Dingley. Gerard Piquet.
Now the other two, both sort of wingers, attackers, very quick.
Pedro.
Yep.
Pedro, brilliant.
And the last one, the club you're looking for is Man City.
So,
Danilo.
Silva.
Rapid this guy is. I don't think City. He was never like a proper favourite at City, I wouldn't say, but what a flying machine.
Oh, I can remember the wee guy on the right hand side.
Exactly, the wee guy on the right hand side.
How long ago?
Well, only a couple of years.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. But he's just going
to have to tell you, Jesus Navas.
Yes, Navas, I wouldn't have got it. Yep.
There we go. We're live from the Brit Awards at the O2 Arena in London. Next up, so stay where you are.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve.